שלום, אנחנו לומדים את מאמר החירות של בעל
הספר. Hello, we're learning the article The Freedom in Kabbalah for the Student. It's on page 375. You can go into our site kab.tv where you can watch the lesson and ask questions, selected questions that are relevant to the topic will be asked here. So, Kabbalah for the Student, page 375, the article is The Freedom.
החירות. חרות על...
The freedom. חרות, engraved upon the tables. Do not pronounce it חרות, engraved, but rather חרות, freedom, to show that they were liberated from the angel of death. These words need to be clarified, because how is the matter of reception of the Torah related to one's liberation from death? Furthermore, once they have attained an eternal body that cannot die through the reception of the Torah, how did they lose it again? Can the eternal become absent?
We're talking about the freedom in two manners. Freedom in the level of this world, where each one understands somehow in his own personal way what freedom means, what being free means. We have to check what happened. We have a blackout here. Broadcast is working. Okay. So, freedom for an individual, freedom for a group, freedom for a nation, freedom for humankind in general, freedom as an understanding, a psychological understanding or philosophical understanding. What is freedom? I cannot be free because I'm in a system that's entirely closed. So freedom is all relative. You can never have freedom except for me being a created being, locked in time, in other desires, as much as I can become big or rich or strong, nonetheless, I am limited. Meaning, if we're talking about freedom, so I probably have... There's probably some internal feeling, internal definition of freedom. Well, there are philosophies and psychological methods of how to become liberated without being under pressure on us. But that's also, it's not understood. If it's not clear if it gives us freedom or an illusion. That's why we have to clearly define if we can, the concept of freedom, can we really attain it? And if we can, how? And how to reach it? And what does it give you? What is freedom? I don't know. Maybe you shouldn't feel the freedom. It depends how much you have to pay for it. And sometimes we're under his cover, under his responsible for me, then I'm better off. I'm limited. Maybe when I'm told you are allowed to act from here until here, maybe it's good. Being safe, meaning we have to examine everything. Let's see what he tells us.
Well, what is freedom from the angel of death?
Freedom from the angel of death, so we have to define death. and why it's bad, or is it good? Why is freedom from him good? Maybe it's not what we think at all. We have to learn that. You can't explain what freedom from the angel of death simply like that. What is death? That I die like a beast? So, is there any choice about that? Well, it's clear everyone will die. Tzvika, do you have any thoughts about that? You're sure not. You won't. Well, everyone will die, and that's clear. We have children, and we know we will die, and we have birth to the children, and they will also die. And still, we do it. We agree to it. Why? That comes from above, from the providence. What's the benefit here? Kabbalists explain to us that the benefit here that you can rise above the angel of death, to be free from the angel of death during these short life, where certainly you will die physically. That's the matter. That's how it's made. But during this time, you can reach a state where you get rid of the shackles of time and the angel of death. And then you are considered free. That's what they mean. How can we reach the freedom from the angel of death? That's the question. It depends what death is, who an angel is, and how can we rise above it? Let's learn that. Other questions? No. Okay. I see this in a simple manner. About our body, we have nothing to talk. It will die. It is sentenced to death. And it can happen each and every moment. Maybe 50, maybe 60, or maybe even 80 years. But our work during this time is to reach freedom from the angel of death. Please. What?
What does it mean that through the reception of the Torah they attained an eternal body?
Eternal body, rather than the corporeal body. The body that wants to receive in order to bestow. If it's in order to bestow, it's called eternal. Its quality, the quality is just like the Creator. Just like the upper light. And then it doesn't disappear, it's not gone, it doesn't die, it exists, it bestows and keeps on developing without limitation. Next.
Freedom of will. To understand the sublime concept, freedom from the angel of death, we must first understand the concept of freedom as it is normally understood by all of humanity. It is a general view that freedom is deemed a natural law, which applies to all of life. Thus, we see that animals that fall into captivity die when we rob them of their freedom. This is a true testimony that providence does not accept the enslavement of any creature. It is with good reason that humanity has been struggling for the past several hundred years to obtain a certain measure of freedom of the individual. Yet, this concept, expressed in that word freedom, remains unclear, and if we delve into the meaning of that word, there will be almost nothing left. For before you seek the freedom of the individual, you must assume that any individual, in and of itself, has the quality called freedom, meaning that one can act according to one's own free choice.
Meaning, what do we think about freedom? Either we want to get rid of our corporeal problems, to be free from my concern about making a living, being healthy, guarding myself, all these things, that's called freedom, right? That's also something people think. That's why they fight and fight. We wanted to be a free nation in our country. That's a line from the anthem. I don't know who feels free and who feels here that this is his land, feels content here, etc., etc. Meaning the concept, the term, freedom. Freedom of what? Well, this is something we have to discern. But this concept, freedom, is probably, it's engraved on the tablets. Don't read engraved, read freedom. Meaning the upper force brings us this state which is considered the best, the most sublime. What does that mean, that I'll be guaranteed that I'll get a salary, I'll get health, or other things? What is considered freedom for us? And here we have a problem. One.
Pleasure and pain. However, when we examine the acts of the individual, we find them compulsory. He is compelled to do them and has no freedom of choice. In a sense, he is like a stew cooking on a stove. It has no choice but to cook. And it must cook because providence has harnessed life with two chains, pleasure and pain. The living creatures have no freedom of choice to choose pain or reject pleasure. And man's advantage over animals is that he can aim at a remote goal, meaning to agree to a certain amount of current pain out of choice of future benefit or a pleasure to be attained after some time. But in fact, there is no more than a seemingly commercial calculation here, where the future benefit or pleasure seems preferable and advantageous to the agony they are suffering from the pain they have agreed to assume presently. There is only a matter of deduction here, that they deduct the pain and suffering from the anticipated pleasure, and there remains some surplus. Thus, only the pleasure is extended. And so it sometimes happens that we are tormented because we did not find the attained pleasure to be the surplus we had hoped for compared to the agony we suffered. Hence, we are in deficit, just as merchants do. And when all is said and done, there is no difference here between man and animal. And if that is the case, there is no free choice whatsoever, but a pulling force, drawing them toward any bypassing pleasure and rejecting them from painful circumstances. And providence leads them to every place it chooses by means of these two forces, without asking their opinion in the matter.
This means that we are like beasts. There's pleasure and pain, which are like two reins that accompany us and aim us towards everywhere, knowingly or without knowing, maybe one third or one quarter, it doesn't matter. But that's how we perform the commands of nature. Who doesn't agree to that? Does anyone not agree to that? You don't agree? Quickly.
I totally disagree. There's a seemingly commercial calculation here, whether you appreciate that. So I have to fantasize what's going to happen in the future.
Even if that's not what you think, you don't think about it, but automatically you do it each and every moment. That's how you carry it out. Look how you sit, how you look, how you do something out of yourself. In your entire reality, you, nonetheless, you keep yourself in the most comfortable possible way. in order not to be hurt and to gain something from the presentation of your image towards others. That's the way it is, and that's the way it is with everyone. So if nature, upper providence, wants to lead you somewhere, the merging of the pleasure and pain by these two reins will lead you, like a donkey, to this state that is desired. And you walk in that on that path without asking any questions, just to have as much pleasure as I can and as least torments as I can, and all the different aspects you have here. That's how all of us, each and every one of us, is built. So, about what freedom can we speak? We're like on a tamed to this cart, this chariot, and we have no choice. That's how we have to go.
What does the term hope come from?
No. Don't go into all these different concepts. I'm talking about the state we're in. All the rest will come later. No philosophies now. We're talking about biology, zoology. That's it. That's who we are. Animals governed, managed this way. Yes, quickly.
So why is there an illusion of choice?
Oh, that's something else. Yes, we do have the illusion of choice.
What for?
It's like you look from above at little children or animals. You look at them and they think that's it. They're alive. That's life.
The illusion of choice is not only on the pleasure or the pain. It's an illusion of the act itself.
The action itself and the one who's managing this action. When you throw a bone to your dog and it runs and fetches it, it comes back to you so happy, and so it's a game, it's a connection, it's a pleasure, it's everything. He doesn't understand your calculations. He's in his level. Everything depends on the level of development you're in. Okay.
No, amikam, no.
Well, amikam.
We learn that man was created with his animate soul, this nature system, which is very precise, billions of details to maintain the flesh. And we also learn that there is a godly part in it.
The question
is, this thought, our thought, does it all, it sustains the body and also sustains the holy soul. Which part of it is the angel of death?
There is nothing about what you're talking.
Rather,
there is nothing about it, because we're not in it. What thought of ours is holding the part of death or the part of life?
The thought of the animate part?
No, all we have is a thought about one thing, to have the maximum pleasure. That's it.
So then from what do we have to be liberated? If the Creator's purpose, He's good and does good, He wants to give us the abundance and the pleasure, what should we be liberated from?
From our own will to receive. That's what we need to be liberated. That's what governs us.
And the will to receive for ourselves is unique to our body, to nature, to what?
Not to the body at all, to the soul. The body is like a beast, always exists according to the law of, just like all the beasts. The greatest Kabbalist, must he not eat? He has to do everything as everyone else with his body. Doesn't he feel in his body all these torments and pleasures? As a beastly body, what it brings him, of course he does. But he has an additional calculation above the body, and that's what we call is Adam. There he wants to be connected to the Creator, but in his beast, he's the same. Goes to the same doctor like you.
So from what should he be freed?
He should be free from the angel of death. Then he reveals, not like ordinary human beings. And ordinary human beings don't reveal their angel of death. What is the angel of death? His will to receive in order to receive. That separates him from the Creator. And he wants to rise. A Kabbalist wants to rise above this desire and to cling to the Creator. That's what we call faith above reason. An ordinary person doesn't understand what we're talking about.
Is there a contradiction between them? Is there a situation that if you get exactly to this point, the body won't be able to exist?
What body?
Material body.
Material body has no problem. Exists according to different laws that apply both for a Kabbalist and an ordinary person. There is no difference. A donkey is a donkey.
But he still says that there is a contradiction here.
No. Well, excuse me, you still have this misunderstanding. There is no contradiction between the corporeal body and the spiritual one. There's no contradiction. Okay? Let's go on.
Continuing from the paragraph, Moreover, even determining the type of pleasure and benefit are entirely out of one's own free choice, but follow the will of others as they want, and not he. For example, I sit, I dress, I speak, and I eat. I do all these not because I want to sit that way, or talk that way, or dress that way, or read that way, but because others want me to sit, dress, talk, and eat that way. It all follows the desire and fancy of society, not my own free will. Furthermore, in most cases, I do all these against my will, for I would be a lot more comfortable behaving simply without any burden. But I am chained with iron shackles in all my movements to the fancies and manners of others which make up the society. So you tell me, where is my freedom of will? On the other hand, if we assume that there is, that the will has no freedom, then we are all like machines operating and creating through external forces which force them to act this way. This means that we are all incarcerated in the prison of providence, which, using these two chains, pleasure and pain, pushes and pulls us to its will, to where it sees fit. It turns out that there is no such thing as selfishness in the world, since no one here is free or stands in his own right, on his own two feet. I am not the owner of the act, and I am not the performer because I want to perform, but I am performed upon in a compulsory manner and without my awareness. Thus, reward and punishment become extinct. And it is quite odd, not only for the Orthodox who believe in his providence and can rely on him and trust that he aims only for the best in his conduct. It is even stranger for those who believe in nature, since according to the above, we are all incarcerated by the chains of blind nature, with no awareness or accountability. And we, the chosen species, with reason and knowledge, have become a toy in the hands of the blind nature, which leads us astray, and who knows where.
This means, if we look at our life, at our desire, at the providence, according to the way we see it, in our nature, in the level of this world, whatever you see around you, there is no free choice. We're all tied in chains, and there's a bridle here, and we are developing the way nature determines. That's why, on behalf of man, if you look at this person, you can have no free choice in a good way, in a bad way. Everyone is just like a beast. There is no reward, nor is there a punishment. Just like you see a herd of cows and sheep, so are people. They're a bit more confused, suffering more, but in general, that's the way it is and nothing else. What?
From the moment a person becomes freed, is he enslaved to a different system?
I don't know. In the meantime, we're talking about what we just read. Is that okay? Yes. Don't ask beyond what we've read.
He says that on one hand, the person is totally under its environment and it forces everything on him.
Yes.
On the other hand, we learn that every thought comes from the Creator.
What does it matter? It's nature, through the environment or directly.
What does it mean that the Creator influences through nature, through the environment?
With all the forces we have around a person, through all these things, nature or Creator, and then the numerical number in Hebrew is the same, nature and the Creator. So through all that, He affects us, and there's no question about it. Yes.
Okay, so let's begin with our great inspiration given to us by the Be'er Sheva group. 10 number 3 from Petach Tikva came to Amnon to Be'er Sheva. They had a long Shivat Chavarim last night, and today they're together at the morning lesson. They're saying there are many impressions from the new situation in the tens and the scrutiny that they had together. Now a question about the Unity Night a week from today, in a week. How do we get the maximum out of such a meeting of unity? People will come from all over Israel, and they're asking, how can you, after just a few moments, come out feeling like there was a Congress?
Yes, this is very important, and it is advisable, and we can have great benefit here. Because a connection is connection, and it may take a few minutes, but it will truly determine the way a person develops, changes the direction for many, all the different directions, in favor of all these different meetings. And by the way, I had this conversation with the women last night, and I recommend that you all hear it, men too. You'll better understand the work of women and also the work of men, which is nonetheless equal. More?
Okay, so I'll tell you that the radio team is preparing for to expand kind of the envelope, so it's not just the convention itself, but before and after too. Yaakov Briel and all the friends.
Are you talking about what we're going to have in a week from now?
Yes.
Next Sunday. So say it exactly. In a week from today, on Sunday, what are we going to have?
Okay, so it begins at 4 a.m. We'll begin the broadcast. The gathering will be here at 6. At 7:30, the evening begins until 10, and we'll continue broadcasting until 11 p.m., so there will be many hours of a possibility to connect and to be together.
Mm-hmm. And the topic?
We'll begin, as Aran said, we'll gather on the roof at 6, and that will be the beginning with presents and surprises that the groups in Israel are preparing, and it's all with the aim of strengthening the archive project. There'll be a supper and some drinks we'll have together. And then we'll go down to the evening, and its focus will be the groups in Israel, how it all began in Israel, how we've grown and expanded into dozens of groups and thousands of friends, and all the activity we do today, and what the future holds. And also we're preparing questions. The teams are preparing questions that we'll ask you during the lessons, so that the Q&A part will be out of preparation of the groups.
Fine. Okay. I'll try to be prepared. Yes, Chaim.
To share with all the friends, today teams are going out to many, many places, many recreational resorts in Israel, by the Dead Sea, Tiberias. They're going to give a lot of people a taste of the method that we absorb every day. We need everyone's thoughts and support.
Good luck. Good.
Concerning the convention and free choice, Odette from New York is asking, we're heading toward our most important congress, a congress that can determine the future of Europe, and there are still groups in Europe 2 hours away from Italy that are not going to come. They're convincing people around them to stay in mirror congresses. Is your free choice about coming to the congress?
I don't think there is a free choice to come to the Congress for someone who can come. The calculation is very simple. If you can come, you must come. By that, you're carrying out your free choice. Besides that, if there is anyone or a group that is really opening his mouth and convincing people not to come, that's really, it's against all our activity. And for these people, these groups have no room among us. If I heard anyone convincing his friend not to go, not to come to the Congress, I would completely erase him, off our lines, immediately, without any hesitation. There is nothing worse than that. This truly harms us. Yes, what do we have?
We have a report from Europe, Elivinuku and Yom Tov, and Avinom Yom Tovian are in Romania and are going to report.
Dear friends, huge friends, Boker Tov Rav, Boker Tov Haverim, what I wanted to say, we are very happy. Here we have two huge friends as a guest in Iași, Romania. And we are very happy we have the opportunity to serve. As regarding the huge Congress, it's a huge opportunity. It's coming to us. We have every day amazing, amazing lessons, more and more deeper. And if we're speaking about us, we did our, free choice. We arranged our corporeal life, bought ticket for Italy, and we will be there. Hope we'll put our intention and to get this feeling of the Congress. And I ask all the thoughts of the world CLI to think about the Romanian group so we can unite around the Congress and we all come there.
Thank the Romania group, and now the daily task. Okay, so on the 10s in duty, we had 10 number 10 from Moscow, UK, Rehovot, Brazil, 10 number 2, and 10 number 22 from Petah Tikva. Building a wood between us. Each one is responsible for every friend feeling confidence and joy toward the greatness of the goal. Building a wood between us. Each one is responsible for every friend feeling confidence and joy toward the greatness of the goal. Repeating to feel confidence and joy toward the revelation of evil. So good day everyone. On the top of the world, a unity night of the groups in Israel, you're all invited. This Sunday, June 24, for a celebration of unity of the Israeli CLI, there'll be a meeting of friends with the groups, launching the new site, Kabbalah Media, meal, and a lesson with Rav Leitman, and now we'll sing a song together. Thank you, and good day, and great night.
אשרנר שיסכיל לשמוע בכל רב בכל רבו אשרנר שיסכיל לשמוע בכל רב בכל רבו אשרם שככה לו אור הזוהר יורד דרכו אשרם שככה לו אור הזוהר יורד דרכו ויתף לזקן כנף שכינה יחד תחבקם אשרי יתף לזקן כנף שכינה יחד תחבקם אשרי העם שככה לו אור הזוהר יורד דרכו אשרי העם שככה לו אור הזוהר יורד דרכו אשרי בת מלך שזכתה לשלום בית ושלווה אשרי בת מלך שזכתה לשלום בית ושלווה אשרי העם שכחן לו אור הזוהר יורד דרכו אשרי העם שכחן לו אור הזוהר יורד דרכו אשרי בנותיו להם רואה ונאמן אשרי בניו אשרי בנותיו להם רואה ונאמן אשרי העם שככה לו אור הזוהר יורד דרכו אשרי העם שככה לו אור הזוהר יורד דרכו